scripture reading for our meditation today is recorded in the book of Hebrews, the second chapter, beginning with verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he, that is Christ, himself, likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. A number of years ago, there was a woman working in a church and suddenly heard a loud crash right outside of the building. And she ran out at the intersection. Right at the intersection there was a highway and another street, and saw that there was a large truck that had smashed into the side of a car, hit the car on the driver's side. And so she quickly ran to the car and went into the passenger side door and looked in. And it was obvious that the woman who had been driving the car was dead. And so someone was already calling 911, but she got into the passenger seat right next to this woman and put her hand in her other hand and held it tightly and began saying prayers for her family, knowing that this was going to be such a hard day for them to hear about the loss of their mother. And she was thinking how hard this would be for herself to hear news like this. And so her prayers were that God would comfort them in this time, even before they didn't even know yet that their mother had died. I found out about this story through other sources later on, because the woman that had died had at one time been a member of a church I served. It's interesting that death has a different way of evoking things in us, bringing out things in us. Even right now, that story, it does something to you. There's something unique about it. It brings out a different response in us than almost any other type of thing that we experience in our lives. The text before us talks about the power of death, and that's part of it, this power of death, and the fear of death that permeates humanity. And it describes us in this way, those who all their lifetime are subject to bondage. That's quite a way to talk about us in this world. Those who all their lifetime are subject to bondage, like slavery, like being in a prison. And that's really what the Greek word here means, to be subject to something that you can't find a way to get out of. So that's how this text is describing death for us. Boston University students did a study on prisons in the United States and found out that there are every year about 2,000 infants born to women in U.S. prisons. And according to most of the laws, they have to be taken out of the prison right away and given to another relative. In India, that's not the case. In the India prison system, 20% of the women who are incarcerated right now in India are mothers of little children and have them living with them until age 6. Now, can you imagine being a 6-year-old living in a prison, and that for the first 5-6 years of your life, that's all you've ever known? This is just what's natural to you, is being in a prison? That is sort of what the world is like for us, if you think about it. The text is describing that we're all in bondage, kind of like in a prison, to death. It's all around us. We get so used to it. It's just everywhere. And at the same time, it's an unnatural thing. It goes against what the design of our Maker, having created life, is all about. And so it's an unnatural thing for us, and yet we almost think of it like it's become natural to us because it's just everywhere, and we have to deal with it in so many different places. But God created you to be alive. He created your body to be alive. So what we know is natural for us is to have an aversion to death, to have a thing inside of us that just wants to repel it and push it away, and to hate it because it's so contrary to life. When I was a student here at Bethany, there was a professor who was teaching a health class I was in. We were going through some first aid type stuff, and he was telling us, I remember, that knowing what to do in a situation where someone gets hurt or whatever is not just enough. You also have to want to get there to take care of the person. And he said once he was in a mall and he saw a shoplifter, a college-age student, running past in the mall really fast, getting away from a security officer who was chasing him. And as he was, it went by him and he didn't see, and they ran into some glass doors that apparently were locked, and the student went full force into a glass door. And he didn't see it happen, but he heard it. And my professor said that he froze. He just stood there, and he said, I knew all the things to do, but I didn't want to go have to face it. I didn't want to have to go deal with it, because I really thought the guy could have killed himself running into the door. It's interesting, the aversion that we have to death. A friend of mine who's a pastor said he got out of the parish ministry because he just couldn't do funerals anymore. It was just so difficult for him. So it's natural in us to be repulsed by this enemy. And it's natural in us to want to get away from it and to protect ourselves from it and to protect our kids from it, protect our children from it. In the 1960s, the crime rate had gotten so bad in New York City that people used to take their infant children and put them to bed in their bathtubs to protect them from stray bullets that might fly through the walls. Think how many things your parents taught you growing up that would help you avoid death. I bet every day your mom and dad tried to teach you something that would help you push death away in your life, and mine did too. So we try to shield ourselves from it. We try to push it away. And yet what's interesting is when the Bible addresses death, it tries to show it to you and me in all of its ugliness, in all of its reality. God doesn't mince any words when it comes to talking about what happens with death. And here's why. Because through the words of Scripture that present us with Christ, we have the answer to it. We have the one great remedy that can undo this vicious enemy for us. You know, Jesus could have arrived days earlier at Mary and Martha's house when Lazarus had died, when Lazarus was only sick, but he didn't. He could have visited the town of Nain days earlier, before that young man, the widow's son, had died, but he didn't. He could have arrived at Jairus' house only hours before his little 12-year-old daughter had died, but he didn't. Why? And why did God choose to record all of these in Scripture for us? Because the Holy Spirit wants you to see that we have an answer to this horrible enemy of ours. We have a powerful answer to this enemy. God wanted to provide you and me with confidence looking ahead at what's coming for us so that we can look ahead to it without fear because it doesn't really have a hold on us in Christ. Christ is the new inmate that has come and entered the prison willfully. He has checked himself in on purpose and put himself under the same sentence that you and I have. And he has come here for a completely different reason into this prison with us than you and I have. We're here because we deserve to be here, because the wages of our sin is death. He's holy and righteous, but he's here with a different mission, and that is to set us free. In order for this to work, he had to be made just like you and me in every way, except without sin. And he knows this prison inside and out. He knows how our bodies work. He was the creator of them. And his Father is the governor of the prison, the Almighty God himself, the only one who has the authority to let you go and release you. And so the Son of God has intentionally come into our prison and joined himself to our human nature and our human race And by this act, he will now put the devil out of commission, the very one that has put you in this prison. This Lord Jesus, this powerful one, possesses all authority in heaven and on earth, because in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. Think of that. The fullness of the Almighty, all-powerful God has now come in the form of human flesh in the man Jesus Christ. And God now hides his power over your personal death in, of all things, the execution of his Son. Listen to what Hebrews says. By his death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held subject to bondage. Death is not a dreaded thing to Christ. It wasn't inflicted on him in opposition to his will, the way it would be for you and me. But rather, this was something he consciously reached out and grabbed and pulled to himself so that he could go through it and conquer it for you and me. He says to death, I will be your death. In the ancient church, this reading that we just read was selected as an epistle lesson, and it usually fell on the day of the presentation of Christ in the temple after his birth, when, remember, elderly Simeon took the baby Jesus in his arms and gave us what we call the Nunc Dimittis, Lord, now I let your servant depart in peace according to your word. That the fact that he could look ahead at his own probably imminent death was so different because of this little Christ child that he held in his arms. And you can say the same thing. With Christ in your heart, now let your servant depart in peace. So take up this Christ in your arms today by faith. Your Good Friday may be coming someday when your life will come to an end, but so is your Easter. Amen.